Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Have you ever wondered how a product goes from being one of many to being the leader in their field? How did that marketing journey go? Well, today, you're in for a treat and you're going to find out. Hey, I'm Ted, host of Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one podcast in all things marketing, advertising, and communications. Today, we have a treat for you. We have Jessica Jensen, CMO at Indeed. She is responsible for brand, communication, product, and acquisition marketing globally. Before joining Indeed, Jessica was CMO at OpenTable, which I love. I do a lot of my reservations there. I do also love Indeed. She's also led B2B marketing for Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and other Meta platforms. She has held leadership roles at Apple and Yahoo, and started her career at the Boston Consulting Group. Jessica holds an MBA at INSEAD, a master's in international relations from UCSD, and a BA from Amherst College. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a delight.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you got, quite the CV there. You've done it all, and you're just leading the charge in some of the world's biggest brands. So, we kind of want to know, how did you do it? You know, tell us a bit about your origin story, how you got here.
Well, I don't know if we have time for all that, my friend, but so it's funny. I was raised in Kansas, in the middle of the States, and my dad was he's a painter, and then he became a creative director at an ad agency. My mom was a speech and communications teacher. So writing ad copy and jingles at the dinner table was part of my upbringing. Little did I know that I would find my way back to marketing over time. I lived many lives between then and now, lived and worked in Japan for a while. As you said, did management consulting at BCG. And then really over time realized that I love the fusion of creativity and business performance. And so where does that come to life best? Obviously marketing. So migrated my career over in that direction, pretty much starting at Yahoo and then at Apple and then Facebook. I was there 5.5 years, and that's really where I think I got my deepest learning and growth, doing all of the B2B marketing for the platforms there. And then, as you said, you know, on to OpenTable and now Indeed. So I've gotten to do business strategy, and product development and B2B marketing and B2C. And it is just a delight and getting to do it for Indeed, which, as you know, is the world's largest job site, means that I get to help people get jobs every day. So it feels real good.
Absolutely. I mean, we use it all the time at Ballistic Arts, my company, my agency that I have when I'm not doing marketing news. It is fantastic. And that was kind of one of the questions that I really wanted to know, because, you know, I've been around the block a little while. And when back in the day, you would look at the classifieds, and then there was, I think, Craigslist, and there was all these other platforms, other ways of looking for jobs. I think up here we have something called monster.com or Job Shop or whatever. There's all these other groups, yet somehow Indeed floated to the top. How did that journey go? Can you comment on that at all?
Sure. No, you're right. I mean, I remember looking for my jobs in the newspaper too, and we've come a long way. So we have a very broad reach globally. We help about 350 million job seekers a month find work in about 60 countries around the world. We are very proud to be the number one job site in Canada and reach the vast majority of Canadian job seekers. And we have really deep matching technology that helps employers find the right people with the right skills and experience, and then also helps job seekers to search for and discover and connect with the right employers and jobs. And so I think the power of our breadth of employers and jobs and the matching technology is really what has given us our strength. And then, of course, we've been doing marketing in Canada for a while, and happy to say that, you know, we are quite well known in the Canadian market and work with a huge number of employers there. So, you know, we're proud of what we deliver to both employers and job seekers, but have much more work to do.
So let's take a step back. So you're a leader in many of these large global organizations through your path, through your journey. But from what I've heard, and I've interviewed lots of female leaders, that path, you know, especially back in the day, was not that easy. And so can you speak on that a little bit, maybe share some stories and what learnings and shared experience could you provide?
Well, you are correct. I started in the 90s, and when I was in management consulting, I was very typically the only woman in the room, you know, meeting with CEOs and boards and senior leaders in business. It was pretty amazing how often I was the only woman. And, you know, there were some benefits to that and some downsides. I definitely was sexually harassed in the business world, and a lot of inappropriate comments and advances were made to me. But I knew that I was hardworking and smart and could contribute to business growth. So I stuck it out. Fortunately, I had some male senior leadership champions at the Boston Consulting Group who really had my back and ensured that clients behaved themselves. And then, you know, I was very fortunate to go on to work for Yahoo under a female CEO. My boss was the EVP of the Americas. She's a woman. Head of investor relations was a woman. Head of sales was a woman. So I think that was an environment that was quite unusual and wonderful for a rising woman to feel that I could look up and around me and there were women everywhere. So that really inspired and fortified me. Slightly different experience at Apple. Apple was very male dominated at the top. I think they've made some progress in recent years. But I, you know, I had to keep pushing and doing good work and proving my value. And then Facebook was also, I mean, Sheryl Sandberg was the COO, you know, I mean, we had incredible female leaders at the top there. So I think I've been very lucky, frankly, to work in California and in a lot of very progressive companies where women have been in senior positions. But certainly I know a lot of women in, you know, other areas of the world and the country where that leadership representation of women is very different, and it is a hard, hard road. So, you know, and women still make 80 cents on the dollar for every man. And so we're not finished.
So what tips might you have, right? Like, it sounds like there's clearly some experiences that, you know, you've commented on that we've heard a lot of, over the years. And what do we do? How do we go from here? Like you said, there's still a lot of progress that needs to be made, and what can we do? I do know that, you know, a lot of, you know, we're a smaller business. We run an agency, but, you know, our leadership is there's quite a number of female leaders in our company. So, but I hear that sometimes that corporate, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, takes a little while, right? That culture takes a little while. And so what's one to do?
Yeah, well, it's a great and very complex question. I think bro culture, or whatever you want to call it, is unfortunately still alive and well in a lot of companies. Listen, it's not a woman problem. It's an LGBTQ problem. It's a people of color problem. Making sure that we have representation of diverse people throughout organizations has to be a huge priority for every company, particularly for a company like Indeed. We are so global and we serve humanity. So we have to make sure that our executive team and our middle management and all of our teams reflect the full composition of the world. I think what we do and what a lot of companies do is, you know, we have employee resource groups, which are, you know, women at Indeed, LGBTQ+ at Indeed, Black at Indeed, you know, and veterans at Indeed. So really ensuring that there are robust communities of people in organizations that support each other, that advocate for their needs and their rights. I have seen that be incredibly effective. And then, you know, I always tell people who I mentor and coach, if you don't have a boss that has your back and wants you to succeed and is coaching you and helping you rise through the organization, you have the wrong boss. And people stay in negative cultures with unsupportive bosses way too long. And women and people of color will never, ever succeed if they don't have the right leadership support. So pick your bosses wisely and change, you know, find the right environment that is going to help you thrive and rise.
So how would you do that, right? Because if you're, let's say you really want to, like you said, help humanity. I really want to be a part of Indeed, let's say. But, you know, maybe I'm a person of color, I'm part of the LGBTQ+ community, or female, or whatever, all combination of that.
Right, right.
And I have a boss that just isn't, or maybe what'd you say, the bro culture, you know, they're part of the bro culture, right? But I really want to be here. So what do I do? Do I ask to be moved, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's easier said than done, of course, right? And so I think, you know, looking around at other departments, I always advise people do as many functions in an organization as possible. You know, if you want to be a great marketer, you should try sales. If you want to be great at sales, you should find a way to work on product. If you want to be, you know, like work in ops. So move yourself around an organization as much as possible. And if you're stuck in a function or with a bad boss, advocate for yourself, try to improve that. And if it doesn't work, leave. I mean, there are, you know, plenty of organizations out there looking for ambitious, talented people. And do your research, read reviews on companies, read reviews on bosses, and find the right environment for yourself.
Okay. I mean, that's
and it requires patience, right? You can't snap your fingers and do that overnight. And listen, we've all had to work in jobs that were not ideal, and that's part of the professional development process. But, you know, I know so many people who are like, I've been working for this boss for 5 years.
Oh my.
Who, you know, never wants me to progress. And it's like, get out. Don't settle for that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that the self-advocacy, taking action, and a little bit of patience, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah.
That's some good tips. Yeah. Now, speaking of patience, I mean, heck, you're at Indeed. Y'all have seen really the ups and downs over the last few years, right? There was a spike from COVID. I would imagine there was all the labor shifts that came along with it. And now there's this talk about recession or possibly soft landing from the Fed. How is Indeed managing that through this kind of economic uncertainty? How are you doing marketing? Because you hear a lot of folks go, we're going to cut marketing. Like that's what you hear, right? We're going to cut marketing when times are tough. Now, obviously those that are smart, they don't cut marketing, but how do you manage? How do you wade through this storm?
Absolutely. So we, you know, by virtue of being the largest jobs platform in the world, we see data instantaneously on what companies are hiring for what kind of talent, in what countries, in what regions. So you're quite right. Under COVID, there was an explosion of labor demand in a lot of areas, healthcare, e-commerce, trucking, etc. And now in the post-COVID world or the semi-post-COVID world, you know, some of those dynamics are continuing. And then there's all kinds of new dynamics, which some of which are macroeconomic and fear of recession or like incredible inflation in the UK, some contraction in Canada and the US for sure. But the demand for healthcare workers remains super high. Leisure and dining and travel have come back very strongly. So there's big labor demand there. But, you know, in tech and software development, decreasing demand, the impact of AI, marketing roles way down. As you said, companies are doing cost cutting. So we're constantly looking at supply and demand at the occupation and industry level. And we move our marketing money around quite dynamically, given what's happening in an economy or in an industry. We, too, have been impacted by the post-COVID time, and our business has certainly contracted. We have decreased our marketing. But to your point, in the markets where we still need to grow and capture share, we are continuing to invest heavily. And we move money from segment to segment, right? So we're still spending a lot on acquiring healthcare workers because there's huge demand, and then decreasing our work with, you know, our acquisition with tech workers. So it's a very complicated patchwork quilt of supply and demand management at a country and city level, and it's not boring.
So it sounds like you have a lot of data, right? You said there's a lot of real-time data that you're getting that helps you make those moves. But how long do you, you know, like one day does not make a market, right? So at what point do you go, okay, we're seeing this is not just a blip, this is a trend, we're going to do this. How long do you typically wait before you go and, you know, move the chips from one table and put it onto another?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, we're making long-term brand investments in Japan, Germany, US, Canada, et cetera. Those we don't change very often, maybe every half year. Because, as you know, building a brand is a long-term process. On a more short-term basis, how many nurses do we have to acquire in the UK? How many truck drivers in the US? We move that money around monthly. You know, quite frequently. But some trends are more long-term, like the expansion of healthcare with aging populations, and some are more short-term.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. So what's the trick there? How do you strategize? How do you forecast? Okay, you got the data, but there's also the creative. There's also the messaging. There's also the persona.
Yes.
What's the strategy moving forward for Indeed? How are you positioning yourself? What's the message you're trying to deliver? And I'm assuming there's different messages per industry, per
country. You're right. Yeah. I would say at the highest level, we believe that better work leads to better lives. And we are in the business of connecting people to better work. And so we want to be a career companion to all workers around the world, which means that we help them find jobs when they need a new job, but we also advise them on salary trends and skill development opportunities. And if you're a junior salesperson now and you aspire to be a VP of finance, how would you chart your career path? What experiences should you get? So we're really trying, we've developed a ton of content, written, video, et cetera, to help people explore jobs, understand salary levels, think about what skills they need to acquire. And that's a very long-term investment, right? And then there's more fast twitch things like we need more truck drivers in the southeast of the United States, right? So there's the long-term message and the brand building and then the supply demand management below that, which is more fast twitch. Then for employers, we obviously have a set of messages around, we will bring you the most qualified candidates as fast as possible with the greatest AI matching technology available in the world to help you find and hire the right people effectively and quickly. So we have messages for small businesses, we have messages for enterprise level, and obviously job seekers of various stripes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And so you're also, it's like Airbnb, right? You're marketing to those
exactly.
that are wanting to get a vacation home and those that are trying to put up their place to be a vacation home. So similarly, you're going to have to market to the folks that are looking for jobs, but then also on the employer side, there's the small business, like folks like mine,
exactly.
right? Where we got a small team, and then the enterprise level. Do you, is there a favored child? How do you split your time?
We love all of our children. but you're quite right. It's a marketplace business like an Airbnb where we are attracting employers and helping them hire mm-hmm. and attracting people looking for jobs and who want to develop their careers. So we do both all the time. And they're both critically important. We have a phrase that we use in Indeed, which is that we are job seeker first. We believe that if we satisfy job seekers and create the best experience and outcomes for them, we will have the most job seekers, which means we will get employers. So we tilt more job seeker, but we have to market to Bob's Pizza Shop in Oklahoma and FedEx and Amazon and the largest governments in the world. So, you know, it's multi-level, and we are, you know, constantly assessing investment levels and resource allocations, but we have to cover a pretty broad array of institutions and humans.
So your marketing is both B2C and B2B, and clearly from your history.
All day, every day.
All day, yeah. Every day. And yep. So, you know, my company had been B2C for a long time. We did a lot of real estate development marketing, right? And so we helped, you know, home buyers and or help the developers sell to home buyers. But now we do a lot of B2B marketing. And at least in my experience, there is some difference, but at the end of the day, it's building relationship. At least that's how I see it, right? It's yeah. It's creating that. But there must be more to that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I felt. And maybe, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm just like, let's go, right? But yeah. What are the nuances between the two? Because you did OpenTable, you did Facebook and did the B2B side. Now you're doing both. So yeah. What's the trick there? Where are the nuances that you see?
Yeah. So I actually prefer the term B2P, business to people.
Okay.
Because I think B2B gives the impression that a business is some disembodied institution that is not run by human beings.
Yes.
And actually, as we all know, the people who run businesses and make decisions about hiring and firing and budgets are humans, and they're emotional. They are rational and emotional. So if I had one learning from my years at Facebook and OpenTable and here, it's that you can't think about selling to an institution. You are selling to the people in that business that make decisions that impact our business. And so doing great B2B marketing means that it is emotional, moving, human, and talks about products and benefits and price points. And, you know, I mean, so there is some stuff cooked in there, which is unique to that arena. But if we don't connect with business clients emotionally, it will not work.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely agree. Okay. So we've talked about all that, you know, marketing strategy, B2P, not B2C, not B2B. Okay, great. Where do you see marketing going in the next, I don't know, it's 2024 soon. And
yeah,
by the time people listen to this, it will be 24, it'll be a new year. So where are we going? There's AI, there's all these people, you know, coming in from all sorts of areas. Where's it going?
Well, you know, I would say it is a wonderful time to be a marketer, exciting, and it gets more complex every year. So obviously AI is hot, hot, hot. Many of us have been working in the AI field for a long time, but generative AI and the new tools that have come out are, you know, electric and just giving marketers like us so much more efficiency and capability. So we are using AI, Gen AI for copy creation, headline testing, graphics production, video editing. I mean, we are just marinating in the tools every day, and it is awesome. We've already saved $10 million on content production this year. So we are super, super bullish on AI. I think it is an incredible efficiency bonus to all companies. Now, it requires deep human oversight. And lest anyone thinks the machines are replacing the humans, I'm here to tell you our judgment still matters. And we have to correct and fix and guide all sorts of AI production. And that will not change, I don't think, in the near term. And then I would say data, data, data. You know, the best marketers are, you know, really investing in data access, data cleanliness, data unification, focusing on first party data more and more. And so that is a huge focus for us and most of the marketing leaders that I know. And then, you know, I think, managing burnout and, You know, I know so many people across the business landscape that, you know, forced to go back to the office to work after COVID and feeling, you know, that their lives have been upended. And we have people working on video, you know, 8-10 hours a day. It's exhausting. People are tired. And so managing burnout, I think, is, I mean, when I meet with marketing leaders, everyone says, how do I keep my team engaged, happy, and productive in this world of work where, you know, internet access is ubiquitous and 24 hours a day, and we're managing 30 channels around the world? Like, it's, we have to control our time and our mental health.
And so how, as leaders, do we do that? Or I guess, is there something, a nugget that you can share that maybe you're planning to do in 24 for your team?
Sure, absolutely. Well, so we are very fortunate that we are not forcing return to office. We believe in hybrid and flexible work. We believe people are responsible adults and can do their best work efficiently in a lot of different ways and places. So I'm really proud of our stance on that. And then also we have an open PTO policy, and we are very encouraging to people to take their time off, recharge, get off of the laptop. We do try to get people together in person for some, you know, connection and fun and support, and certainly for creative brainstorming or major strategy planning work. I think there's little replacement for in-person time, but we have people littered all over the globe, right? So, I mean, we have people in Ohio and Italy and Singapore who can never have an in-person meeting with people. And so we have to be very flexible with, okay, these people could get together in an office. These people cannot. So how do we flex our style and our engagement to make sure that everyone feels like they are part of the team? And that's, you know, that's an ongoing thing that we're learning to manage. But I'm taking walking meetings. I'm telling people, get off the laptop, use a phone, mix it up. Because I know myself, when I do 10 hours of video back to back, I'm just totally fried. So I think variety is the spice of life, as always.
Variety is the spice of life. I like that walking meeting. I've only done that a couple of times. I live by a lake here, and sometimes I'll do it.
For me to like take an hour out of the day and just walk and talk rather than be on. Now, sometimes the weather in Canada may not be the most hospitable to that. I understand.
Maybe not right now, but maybe, you know, it's a little warm.
Yeah. Late December date. Yeah. I think or even if you can't go outside, get off video and do a call. You know, mm-hmm. we used to do a lot of meetings on the phone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with the telephone.
So I'm mindful of your time. I'm going to ask because you talked about AI and that it still needs lots of human supervision. So I wanted to hear what kind of, if any kind of funny story that came out of that, because at Ballistic, you know, my agency, we do marketing, but I had a writer who no longer works at Ballistic, who basically got the AI to write a piece for us, content marketing, but rather than double checking the work, just submitted it, right? And because they did that, it talked about guns and the army and had nothing to do with marketing, and yet they submitted it. And they did that one too many times. They're no longer here. So any kind of similar type experience that you had? I want to hear one.
Well, so, I mean, I think, it's funny. I'm raising a teenage daughter. And so the use of ChatGPT writing in schools, as you can imagine, is exploding. Oh, yeah. And young kids are not smart enough to check their work. So she's had some great stories about people getting busted. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the story that some Sports Illustrated people were just fired for similar offenses.
I believe at the top.
Yeah, at the very top. Yeah. I think that we have been very vigilant, and anything that we publish or put out is triple checked. Now, I'm sure, you know, I haven't heard of any errors we've let out. I certainly don't know if we're foolproof. But I will say this, we have found, you know, one of the biggest problems with Gen AI is bias and the perpetuation of bias. And so we have asked ChatGPT to write some articles about gender bias in the workplace. And what it has returned is shocking and at times extremely offensive and inaccurate. And similarly, we have asked it to, like, give us a set of images of lawyers, doctors, architects, and surprise, surprise, they're all white men. And that is because the internet is full of bias and racism and sexism. And so the tools generate things from the data and information that they can find. And what they can find is insufficient. So we have to create our own content, do our own custom photography, et cetera, so that what we put out into the world does not reflect the bias of AI.
Okay. That's good to hear. All right. Okay. So we should probably come to a close pretty quickly. We wanted to do just a fun little segment
sure. called
Rapid Fire, just awesome. To ask Jessica a little bit about you know, who she is and all that kind of stuff. So
be careful what you wish for.
Well, I think I'll be okay. Okay, so you're in San Francisco. So Best place in San Francisco to go for pizza?
I'm not a big pizza person, but I know probably the most beloved, there's one I think in North Beach called Tony's Pizza. I've not been. And then Delfina is a very famous Italian restaurant, very well known for their pizza and meatballs. And I will tell you, the meatballs are magical.
Magic meatballs. Okay. Gotta go.
Exactly.
Where do you go for your walking meetings?
I live in an area with a lot of nice hills, and so I do some hills. Sometimes I'm huffing and puffing on these walks, so I have to ask for forgiveness. There's also a beautiful hike above Half Moon Bay in a woodland area called Parisima, and the views of the Pacific Ocean are just unbelievable.
Pacific or Atlantic? Pick the ocean.
This is very much the Pacific.
You're a very much Pacific person.
Okay. Very much. Yeah, I lived in Japan for a long time, so I'm a Pacific Rim lady for sure.
Best sushi outside of Japan?
Oh, wow. Okay, that is an excellent question. Well, there's a place in LA that I used to go to, Matsuhisa. That was magical. And there's a place here in the Bay Area I go to called Sakae. There's so much great Japanese food around. What is the name of that? Hold on one second. I'm having a brain fart here. Rintaro. There's an izakaya in San Francisco called Rintaro, which is amazing.
Best marketing book that you've read lately?
Best marketing. I absolutely think How Brands Grow is a marketing Bible that everyone should read. And my favorite business book of all time is Good to Great.
Good to Great. We use that book to set our core values. So yes.
Ah, very good. Very good. It is. That book does not get old.
Dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Oh, dark, 1,000% dark, which really helps me with my daughter because she despises dark chocolate. And it is the only way that I get to enjoy sweets in my own home.
Oh, very nice. And any last comments that you have for marketers that are listening to our call today?
Keep on trucking, keep learning new skills and technologies. Don't get discouraged by how complex the media landscape is. You can make it work for you. And take care of yourself. Marketers are people pleasers, and they love to say yes to anything and everything, and they frequently get overextended. So learn the magical art of saying no.
Okay. Magical art of saying no. I'm starting to do that more and more with my teenage daughter. So I think I'm getting.
Yeah. Okay. We can practice together.
Okay. But before we do that, we should probably wrap it up. Jessica, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was a great conversation. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to hear from you, and enjoy San Francisco. And by the time the listeners are listening to this, I'm going to wish you a happy new year. Good start to 2024, and rock on.
Happy new year to you, and rock on with your bad self.
All right, Jessica, thank you very much. Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.